Welcome to Legislative Breakdown. It's a podcast from Boise State Public Radio. I'm Samantha Wright with Gary Moncrief. Gary is a Boise State University political science professor who spends all his spare time studying legislatures around the country, including Idaho's. And in this podcast, we're going to break down the Idaho legislature for you, what's happening, drilling down into the why and the how, and especially how it affects you. Gary, you've been around forever. We've been talking for a few years now about the Idaho legislature, and this is our first podcast.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun enterprise. What we hope to do here is to explain in a little more detail what's behind the scenes, essentially. You know, why are some things happening? And especially, I like to talk about Idaho in the more comparative perspective, talk about how the Idaho legislature works compared to some other states, talk about issues that are not just in play in Idaho, but in other places as well. I've always felt that one understands one's own state better and appreciates one's own state better by looking at what's going on elsewhere. So I'm excited about this. I think it could be a fun thing.
Sounds good. You ready to go?
Sure.
All right. Idaho's 2018 legislative session kicks off on January 8th with Governor Butch Otter's State of the State address. And Gary, what's new and different this year for lawmakers?
There's a lot going on in terms of just the environment with this particular session. First of all, we've got a lot of uncertainty in the chambers this year because of what's going on at the national level with the tax cut, and at some point we'll have a budget, a federal budget. And it's also an election year. You know, we have a primary coming up in May with a number of people running in now both the Democratic and the Republican primaries. And there's a lot of stuff left over kind of from last year in the session. Plus, we have the fact that Bart Davis has left at this point.
Remember, Senator Bart Davis has been the majority leader for the past 15 years, I think, and was like a well-oiled machine when it came to keeping the Senate on track. He stepped down after last year's session and took the job of U.S. Attorney for Idaho.
So I should introduce our guest here. This is Bruce Newcomb. Bruce was in the legislature for, what, 16 years?
20 years.
20 years.
Yeah.
For 20 years, he was a majority leader in the House for 4 years,
six,
maybe
6 years. 6 years.
And then he was Speaker of the House for 8 years. So this is a man who knows the institution very well and served in leadership positions for over half of his time in the legislature.
And Bruce, you're the longest serving speaker, right?
Yeah, I'm the only one stupid enough to want the job that long.
So we thought one of the things that might be interesting for the listeners to think about is the role of leadership in a legislature. And the Idaho legislature is not a particularly large legislature. There's 70 members in the House, 35 in the Senate. But, you know, getting 70 people to agree on something is always a difficult task. You know, there's the old saying about herding cats, and I've heard people talk about that in regard to legislative leadership's job. There's another phrase I've been hearing a lot in the last couple of years about a legislature, especially one that's in some turmoil, and it's and the phrase is it's a goat rodeo. You ever heard that phrase? and I think there were some elements of a goat rodeo in the Idaho legislature last year, particularly on the House side. We've got some kind of challenges to legislative leadership, again, mostly on the House side last year. We've got the fact that it's an election year. There's a lot going on. So I thought it would be interesting to talk to Bruce about the role of the speaker and majority leadership generally, and minority leadership for that matter as well, but especially the speaker. How do you prepare for a session such as you have coming up this year?
So this year, I think first and foremost, you have a federal tax change in the law that's significant. And one of the bills that you have to pass in the beginning is what's the state going to do as far as conformance to the federal tax code? And this year, I think because of the huge changes, that's going to be really significant and have to be resolved early in the session so that people can decide how much revenue they're going to have coming in, you know, and what it's going to do to Medicaid, what it's going to do to CHIPS and all the those health care functions, and how are you going to address that on a state level? Because there's tremendous ramifications to that with the tax bill.
So one of the first jobs of leadership I'm hearing you say is to kind of get people focused on what you see as the main issue or issues that are coming up, especially something that has to be dealt with early on, like this particular instance here where they need to get the conformity question resolved early on, because that has an effect on what's coming down the road. And the conformity issue has to do with the Idaho tax code conforming to the federal tax code in terms of things like the deductibility, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It has to do with issues like, is the state of Idaho going to use the same deduction that the federal tax code uses? So those are some very technical questions, but they have really important consequences for what the size of the budget's going to look like coming down the road.
Not only will it affect the budget for the state, but the budget for every person if they change the deductible or that amount that's mm-hmm. coming out also in the state. That could be money in the bank or not for each individual person in Idaho.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. There's a significant change reduction in corporations, you know, from on the federal level from 35% to 21%. And I think corporate tax rate in Idaho or the corporations tax is from somewhere around 20% to 25% of the total revenues for the state. So I'm not sure what the significance of that is, but that's something that's going to have to be resolved.
That's a lot of money, possibly. Yeah.
Could be a lot of money.
And, of course, that drives what gets done through the rest of the session in terms of substantive policy. Because states have to roughly have a balanced budget, you have to figure out what the budget looks like early on in the session, because that drives so much of what comes subsequent to that.
Right.
So last year in the House in particular, we had, I guess the best term to use here would be some personality clashes. We had five or six House members, most of whom were fairly new to the process, but not all of them, essentially making some challenge to leadership, to the speaker in particular, on some occasions. Did you experience anything like that when you were speaker?
I kind of equate it like this. I used to tell people that when I was speaker, there was always 9 to 15 people that you could put a rock on their red button and send them home, and it wouldn't make any difference because they'd vote no on everything. So you never looked to those people for be part of the solution. But the difference between sending people home and the rock on the red button and now is I didn't have people that wanted to burn a place down. And I think there's a certain amount of people that just want to destroy government and just start all over again. And so I think that's the difference between my tenure and Speaker Bedke's tenure.
As speaker, you have other people working with you usually in leadership. You have a majority leader and an assistant majority leader and a caucus chair. That particular group in the House this year will remain the same. On the Senate side, there's, of course, the Senate pro tem, and then you have the majority leader who's primarily the floor manager for most of the major key legislation, and then an assistant and a caucus chair as well. One of the things that I think strikes me as being different this year is on the Senate side, Bart Davis is no longer going to be there. And Bart Davis was, in my estimation, one of the finest managers of bills on the floor that I've ever seen. He was very, very good as a floor manager. And, of course, he's no longer there because he was appointed as the United States Attorney from Idaho, and he's left the Senate.
We've got some parting words from Bart Davis, who actually talked a little bit about some of the things that happened in the last session that we've been talking about right now.
Let's not ever forget the legacy that was given to us by our predecessors, and that is a civil and dignified legislative process. I hope that is each of our charge, that we will maintain that going forward.
That wraps up Bart Davis right there. He was civil and knew what was going on every second of the day.
Yeah, he did. He was a leveling force, and he'll be sorely missed. In my tenure as speaker, there's very few people I admired more than Bart and his ability to handle things in a very calm, civil way. And I think what he's saying is that he's concerned about the civility of the institution and the respect for the institution. And he and I both had great reverence for that place. And I think he was just a real calm force.
Can he be replaced? Are we going to see another Bart Davis step in?
everybody's different. They all bring their own set of skills and their biases. But now we'll see, Bart was a kind of an anomaly. And if he can be replaced, it will not be done easily. That just remains to be seen. He'll be difficult to replace, but I've seen very few people that couldn't be replaced, myself included.
So because of some of the animosity that developed in the House last year, there was an announcement after the session that a number of the more conservative legislators were going to create something called the Freedom Caucus, in which they wanted to coalesce some of the more conservative members of the body together and essentially try to work to be more effective in terms of getting their views across. And so they started asking legislators to join this particular caucus. And sometime in the late summer, early fall, I remember reading an article in the newspaper that basically said they've put that aside. They decided to just not pursue this because, and I'm quoting, that one of the people who was trying to put it together said that some of the people, quote, on the far right are unwilling to work toward consensus. So if I were speaker, I would be thinking, this doesn't bode well. What do you think?
Well, I think if you look on the federal level and you have the Freedom Caucus there and basically empowers 40 people that actually control the House as far as who's going to be speaker, and they get concessions, and they're mostly, you got to figure out how you're going to work around them or work with them in order to get some legislation passed. So I think that's what they see on the state level, is they're mirroring what's happening on the federal level. But an interesting thing that I thought was, so many of these folks are oh so contraire that they can't even agree with each other, which I think is a good thing. But I think the speaker has to pay attention and try to figure out how he's going to thwart those kind of maneuvers. Because if those people get so empowered that they control who's going to be speaker, that means that a minority is going to control the House. And that's what's happened in the House and in the federal level, is a minority actually controls the House.
Well, so Bruce, this has been really interesting, and I always enjoyed listening to you talk about the role of leadership and how one can do that. You were one of the people that I think everybody respects in terms of the way you did the job. It's a very difficult job, and I don't think most people understand just how difficult it is. For somebody to come out of that with the respect that people have for you speaks a great deal about your leadership. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you're saying that, Gary. I guess you can fool all the people some of the time.
Bruce, thanks for coming on.
You betcha.
Gary, this has been great. Legislative Breakdown is a podcast from Boise State Public Radio. I'm Samantha Wright with BSU political science professor Gary Moncrief. Our original music comes from local artist and composer Will Hall of the bands New Dude and Like of the Dog. Thanks to our digital content coordinator Lacey Daly and to James Dawson, Paul Stribling, and Tom Michael. Next time on Legislative Breakdown, we'll break down Idaho Governor Butch Otter's State of the State address. Last year's address zeroed in on education policy and funding.
Ultimately, my education funding proposals are about doing the right thing for the next generation of Idahoans and laying a foundation for their refinements and adjustments to keep pace with a dynamic global marketplace.
This year, Otter has also said education is a top priority. We'll break down his speech and take a look at the priorities of both Republican and Democratic legislators. You can find Episode 2 of Legislative Breakdown starting Friday, January 12th. Remember, it's your legislature. See you next Friday, everybody.